I'm your host, Samaita Graver, and I want to welcome you to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast, where you will find conversations steeped in biblical truths, sprinkled with salt, and a dash of spice thrown in, you know, for good measure.
What are we going to talk about? Because the future is uncertain. And when we talked on our little, you know, Zoom meeting with Leslie and Jessica, we were talking about unrealistic expectations, right?
Right.
And how we, you know, we go into the new year and a lot of us, you know, decide we're going to start a bunch of new things, which is okay. We're not poo-pooing anybody's stuff, you know. But the reality is that a lot of us start with these expectations of the new things we're going to do each year. And we go to the gym maybe the first week and we stop and then we pay for a gym membership that we never use. Mm-hmm, or we say we're going to eat healthier and we eat, you know, salads for 2 weeks and then we're done. Or, you know, a myriad of things. We're going to spend less money, yet Amazon's just a click away and, you know, they're still showing up every day at your door. Maybe it's just reading your Bible, you know, which I've myself has said many times that I'm going to do. And have I done it? No. I've often thought about doing a chronological one, which really the idea of it fascinates me, but I've not done that. And, you know, so there's so many things that we talk about, you know, doing. And, but with 2021 being so much in the air, we don't know what's going to happen. COVID is still around. It's going to be around for a while. And, you know, a lot of times we go in the new year with these expectations. And, you know, I just went through simple ones of just, you know, exercise or whatever and all that stuff. But we're going to go in with these expectations and God's over here like, well, I'm sorry you're disappointed or mad at me, but you weren't talking to me about this stuff.
Right.
I didn't tell you this, you know, and then we, you know, end up being spiritually, you know, hurt. And I'm trying to think what I said before we got cut off. I don't know. Anyway, so I just want to go ahead and, you know, and dig in on talking about, you know, what are some unrealistic expectations that we have that we put on God. And you know, I don't know. I think sometimes we treat him like some genie. This is what I want, you know, my three wishes and grant them. And then, you know, how do we align ourselves with God so that we have healthy expectations along the way? Do you want to add there?
Well, I think that everything you said is correct thus far. I have a friend that I think for many years probably was getting upset with me, but she would ask the exact same question every year, and I would have the exact same answer every year. So every year as we're approaching January 1st, so what are your plans for the new year? Like, what are you going to be doing? What are you, you know, planning? What are you so excited about? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, why not? I was like, because God hasn't told me yet. And she's like, but like, what are you preparing? What are you deciding? I'm not. Why not? Because God hasn't told me yet.
Hmm.
And she's like, but I mean, like, for, like, are you going to, like, are there things you want to start? Things you want to, I don't know. And I had to explain to her, there's been so many years of my life that I have planned the year, have supposed it was going to go a certain way, and it was completely and utterly the opposite. I started begging God, okay, could this year we not have like a major tragedy? Could this year be like less painful, less stressful, less?
Yeah, right.
No, seriously. And I was talking to one of the young ladies that I mentored. She's older, but she's still a young lady. She was sending me a Marco Polo yesterday for their check-in. Excuse me. And she said, you know, I would just want to thank you because you still keep showing up for us in spite of everything that you go through. And the fact that you ask us permission to switch things around because life happened. She's like, it blows my mind because you never stop giving and being available, and you can't, because life doesn't stop because we want it to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, what has been a blessing for a number of years now, is really understanding and grabbing a hold of what Jeremiah 29:11 really says and what it doesn't say. And I think that a lot that we have learned over the pulpit is a we theology in places where it is I theology, I being I am God by myself.
And did you so say Jeremiah 29:11?
Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You know, we misinterpret that scripture.
Oh my gosh, you there too, because I hear people and I understand.
No,
you know,
we
read the Bible. We read the Bible, and you know, it's not a promise to how our lives are going to be, or how it's not that way. It's a collection of books, of poetry, of the history of God with His people, and you know, and beyond, and Jesus. And sometimes we take scriptures like Jeremiah 29, and it's just like, it's not that God doesn't have plans to prosper us in it, you know, ways, but that promise wasn't for us.
Say it again. I missed you said it's not that God doesn't have, I missed a part of what you said.
Yeah, it's a little choppy. I hope this recording turns out okay, because we're talking good stuff here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can closer to your your Wi-Fi or something.
I'm like,
but anyway,
right, yeah.
Yeah, right there too. Yeah, maybe it's just today's the day.
Yeah.
And I was saying that it's not that God doesn't have promises for us. He wants, you know, the Bible says that He wants the good stuff for us. Like, He's our Father. He wants to give us good things. But that scripture specifically is not a promise for us. He's not talking to us here in 2020 specifically, you know. And when we take are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, so when we take, you know, scriptures like that and just apply it directly, I just feel like we set ourselves up for disappointment.
Well,
maybe I'm off.
I will. I will disagree mm-hmm. a little bit. So uh-huh. yes, that's if fine, we're talking, yeah. if we're talking mm-hmm. historically, Jeremiah is not talking to us as
exactly.
Jeremiah, right? Mm-hmm. That book, Jeremiah is one of the major prophets. We have major prophets and minor prophets in the Bible. He would be categorized a major prophet along with Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, okay? So it is a prophetic book, and he's speaking to a specific people. However, the reason why we miss, maybe why the scripture, when you're saying, absolutely, he doesn't mean in 2020, as far as the entirety of that chapter, right? Because,
yes. mm-hmm.
but... or I should say, however, because it's not in, you're absolutely right in that statement. Because if that's the case, then we would say none of the Bible would be for 2020, which is not true in the sense that God's word is living and it is for all times. But there are,
yeah, mm-hmm.
there is a history that is being given to us from the genealogy of Genesis all the way to. So we're not yet at Revelation.
Can you repeat that? I cut out from the okay. genealogy.
Yes, we'll say if we from the mm-hmm. genealogy of Genesis to Revelation, right? And Revelation has yet not come, right? But we begin. Mm-hmm. It's a historical, historical thread, right? From Adam all the way to Jesus, then to beyond Jesus with the disciples who become apostles to the planting of the church people, not buildings, and so on. And still yet there is a prophecies that have yet to be revealed that are in the book of revealing, which is Revelation, which mm-hmm. is what that means, the book of revealing. So
yeah.
So absolutely, when you say we're looking at this portion of a major prophet speaking to a certain people at that time, yes, it is that, but it does not mean it is not for us now also. Because, and I think the reason why we can get tripped up is because we don't have the full understanding of text and exegete words in the scripture, right? To get a, what scholars would say, a hermeneutical interpretation, which is where you're really pulling out the history, the text, so many
the
things.
Context.
Yeah, the text, the context.
Yeah.
You want, right? How so when we look at Jeremiah 29:11, we look at it very blanketly, and it says, for I know the plans I have for you. You write plans for a hope and expected future. That's true. True for God, mm-hmm. for anyone. The problem is that we have taken that scripture, preached it over the pulpit, as it would read, for we know the plans we have for us, and God's going to give us hope and an expected future, which means I'm going to have everything I want and a lot of good things.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But this is what the scripture actually reads. If you exegete it, it says, for I being singular, meaning God by himself, know, that word know means narrate. The plan, his design, and his desire for you. So number one, there is no we in the plan. And yet, everything in society that we have also we have adopted a lot of societal norms that should not be part of a kingdom culture. The societal norm says we have to plan and we make the plans and God just blesses us. That's not true.
Yep.
So
I hear you.
If I know the plans, I being singular God, right? Because it wasn't Jeremiah saying it, it says he's prophesying the words of God. I narrate the desire and the design that I, God, have for you, Zamaita, Kai, Jessica, right? All of us, Leslie, mm-hmm. that I have for you. And those things, what I have for you, have attached to it a hope and an expected end, right? Here's the thing, our expected end as children of God, if that is what we choose, is eternity, right? Is relationship with God. An expected end is there's a hope to our future, right? There are promises, but each of ours is going to be different. But there is an expected end for all children of God. Period.
Absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of scriptures to support that.
Mm-hmm. But know means he's narrating your story, your life, which means he is the author of it. So if you are, and this is what I would say to everyone, if you are not the creator of the thing, of a thing, you actually don't really understand how it functions completely. Right?
You know, we have this saying in Puerto Rico that nobody knows what's in the pot except for the spoon that stirs it.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it's something about to know is to actually be in it. And in order to know God, we have to be in it. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, we're necessarily gonna, you know, be at the same level as him, obviously. We're not preaching equality with God here by any stretch of the imagination. But the closer we are to him, we would understand a bit more and maybe know. But you're absolutely right. Like, if we're not the creator of it, we just really are just not gonna know. At all. Like, I think of electricity, you know, I think of, who the heck was Edison, right? The light bulb electricity. I understand kind of how it works, sort of, whatever.
Yeah.
But I didn't create it. And my brain is not wired that way to understand the whole concept of electricity running through wires and coming in and, you know, to a light bulb and the filament lights up. Like, it's something that I've never even been interested
right.
in figuring out. But for some people, just the concept, you know, it's easy for them to understand, and because they're wired that way. But I'm not, and so when the scriptures say, you know that I am. No, what is that scripture that talks about God's ways are not our ways,
right?
And
His thoughts are not our thoughts.
Yes, and so I think of that for sure. That there's just not the clarity in there.
Yeah,
and so. Go ahead.
Oh, and so for me, when I really understood that scripture, because I will admit as a young person, I just took it as everybody else took it. Like, well, we make the plans, you know, God knows them. So we can just plan them because he already knows what we're going to do, because that's how we always, we take everything. Well, mm-hmm. He knows what we're going to do anyway. So, okay. Yes and no.
there's that thing called free will.
Right. And here's the thing. It's yes and that this. There are two roads to life. There's the broad and the narrow, right? And we have free will to choose either one at any time. So he knows exactly what's going to happen on each road. Now, he's hoping that we take one road. But when we take this road, yeah, he knows what's going to happen then because we have free will. He's given us free will. I sometimes I'm like, why? But he did. But once I realized what that scripture really meant, that it wasn't me plan and then God bless it. Because when I would plan and God didn't bless it, I'd blame God. I'd be mad at God. When things didn't turn out a certain way, I would be like, well, where were you? You let me down. But the truth of the matter is I never, ever, not only did I not include him, but the truth of the matter is I didn't wait for him to plan and then me fall into what he already has for me. Which here's what I'm not saying. It is not void of pain or trials or tribulations because he says we're going to have those. But what it is a lot more smoother and a lot less stressful than the plans I make that fail in comparison.
Yeah. So, because I speak, you know, here and there about marriage, our marriage has been very, very hard up until recently. Thank God for good counselors. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And now I've actually gotten to a point, so I'm thinking of 2021, right? And at this point, I'm like, listen, I don't know. COVID, I don't think is going anywhere. And, you know, there's some sense of life still does go on. And, you know, to hold that intention along with still being careful and, you know, making sure that other people are healthy, I'm keeping healthy, you know, that balance of everything, you know, in there. So I'm not just saying, oh, to heck with it. I don't care because I do. Well, I kind of feel like I have to make the disclaimer because people are a little bit like, you know, a little hot about anything these days. So it has to do with the COVID thing. It's just like people, it's just, you know, it's tense, but let's love each other through this. And so I'm here, actually, I've gotten to this point, which I'm on like a maintenance appointments with my counselor. I think I'm going to make one here soon, probably for January or maybe even for next week. I don't know, depending on what he has available. But I've gotten to this point now that I'm just like, okay, like the amount of stress that has been going on for so many years, like that's just like gone now. Things are normal. And when I say normal, it's just, you know, sometimes we have spats. I'm actually kind of mad at my husband now because he was being rude yesterday, but nothing, you know, deeply disrespectful, just human, you know? And so we'll have a conversation about it at some point, but you know what? Right now I'm mad. So whatever. However, there have been many things that I've put purposefully on the back burner because I really just kind of did not have the bandwidth that it took. Like I felt I didn't. And I think if I would have relied on God more, I may have been able to still it's on my heart. But I just like, I just can't. It is what it is. I'm not a person that lives with regrets. I'm like, these are decisions I made. I live with them and I move on. Right. But there are two, you know, there's this long-term dream that I have. And then there's this shorter one. And for a while now I've wanted to actually have a yearly retreat thing going on for women. And I was part of something that, you know, that produced these retreats. I was part of the leadership and God closed that door. I wasn't the creator of it, but I was part of it. And I totally loved that, but that fell apart. You know, that door closed on its own. It had nothing with me actually stepping down. I mean, I chose to step down, but it was caused by outside forces, you know, decisions made by other people. And so that void, you know, was still there and I missed it so much. And I'm like, okay, God, is this the year? Should I just go ahead and plan and just put it together and see what happens, you know, maybe for the end of summer. And then long-term, I really want to be able to actually have my own property and have a little retreat center in which then you know, whole week long, you know, thing, maybe long weekends and have people, you know, come. And so there's an opportunity to buy some land in Puerto Rico at a very, very inexpensive.
Let's do it. I got five on it.
And so, but the land is locked and I have to figure out, okay, can I get water up there, electricity, you know, so there's all these things.
Right.
And all that stuff, like once I make up my mind about something, I go after it. But this is something mm-hmm. that's not $100 or $1,000. We're talking about Absolutely. A lot of money, Absolutely. Right? And so yeah. I am paralyzed. And, you know, when I think mm-hmm. of the future and, you know, yeah. and that kind of stuff, that paralyzes me because yeah. it's a lot of money. Will God yeah. do it if it's in his plan? I absolutely know. But this is where yeah. that doubt comes in of, you know, is it just me? And, you know, recently I've heard a couple times different women in podcasts say, you know, they've asked the host will ask the guest, how do you know that it's God telling you about your plans? And they basically mm-hmm. decided, listen, I used to not do a lot of things because I didn't know if it was from God. But unless it's heresy, right. sin or whatever, good things are from God. And then you just go and go along mm-hmm. the way, doors close, you know, you just mm-hmm. don't sit around. Mm-hmm. and not do things because right. you're so afraid of, is it really God or is it me? You know,
absolutely.
If it's good, then absolutely. Just kind of, you know, go forward. And I'm kind of jumping on that wagon a little bit there mm-hmm. very hesitantly. But with saying all this is I was thinking about, okay, you know, what is our theme here? False expectations.
False
exactly.
expectations.
And yeah. so I really want to turn a page in my faith in which I am like, okay, I'm jumping here. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that you've put these things on my heart. And I also want to make sure that I'm joining you in the work you're doing. And so we were talking yeah. about those things. I don't want to have this expectation that I'm just going to jump and he's just going to back me up. I really yeah. want it to be the other way. That I'm jumping here because I'm believing that you've invited me into this and you're going to provide, which to me, it's yeah. huge. It may seem very simple, mm-hmm. but it's big. It's different than I'm jumping in, you know, whatever, as opposed to I'm joining you and jumping, yeah. but.
yeah, but
go ahead.
Because uh-huh. here's the thing. Here's the beautiful thing. I think so. I definitely understand. You've heard on the podcast and I agree to yeah. a point, because what we also know is that everything good ain't God. Like I love mm-hmm. that, but everything that's good, the enemy can trick us with good.
Yeah, that's true. Or just because it's good, it's you not know? For us to do. I agree that.
Exactly.
It may be for you somebody know? Else. So yes, yes.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. I do agree that waiting on God is not paralyzed in God. So there's a difference, right?
Yeah.
And I think that often we look at waiting as paralysis. Like, I can't move. I can't make a decision. I can't da 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 da. Where it is to continue to do what you know to do until he speaks about what you desire to do.
Okay. Flesh that out more. What do you mean?
So, what you are doing right now, this podcast, mm-hmm. right? The things that you know to do, you are
gotcha.
Doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as you are doing, you are waiting actively because you're not stopping life. You're not paralyzed, mm-hmm. right? And then as you're waiting on the thing that you feel this desire, this pull toward, now you've got to flesh out the things. Why am I scared about the money? Why am I, right? Mm-hmm. Why does the bigness of the amount, if I know you're God, why does that concern me? Why does that worry? Where are my doubts with this? Where am I, right? So then you've got to deal with your humanity so that if this is what God is doing, your humanity doesn't trip you up when he says go. That your fear doesn't trip you up when he says go. That your, you know yeah. what I'm saying? That your uncertainty, which is really what doubt is, it's a lack yeah. of uncertainty, doesn't trip you up. You know, that you're seeing things clearly and not imagining, you know what I'm saying? Like where you are posturing yourself to get ready. And I think, I'm sorry, let me shift. That's not what I'm going to say, to mm-hmm. be ready. Because I think so often we stay in a cycle, even some of our paralysis is a cycle of getting ready instead of being ready when he says go. So how do I be mm-hmm. ready? My mind, my heart, my spirit, my soul, all coming into agreement with whatever God's plan is, we're resting in that. And here's the thing. For me, the plans of God should scare you because they're bigger yeah. than you.
right?
There is nothing that God has ever put in front of me that I was like, oh yeah, that's easy. I got that. No. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I also believe that when it comes to, and I think we're, you know, I think we can segue here. Also saying, okay, let me take a time to steal away or to shut some things down. Because I think often when we think of fasting, we only think of food.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? We go very, turn my plate over. And that is essential for a lot of people. It is essential in my life. I live a fasted lifestyle. But there are also things, like last week, the Lord was like, I want you to not watch TV for the next 2 days. And just pour into these areas. Right? And I don't watch a lot of TV. But even the little that I watch, because I need you to pour here and water here and be available here. So that in moments where I might just, okay, well, my day's done. Let me just turn on something that ain't doing nothing for me. No, there's something I'm going to need you to water. There's something I'm going to need you to speak to. So I need you to give me these 2 days and this activity because I want to speak. I want to move and you're going to see some things happen. So it isn't always food. For some people, it's social media. Now, I will say this. To any woman out there, if you're going to do a social media fast, can you not tell us? Just get off. Because I don't know why everybody announces their social media fast. Like, guys, I'll be gone for 30 days. Check back with me. Just go. Just please go. Go. Just go. Right? Because the Bible says we're not even supposed to know that you're fasting. But literally, everybody announces their social media fast. But whether it's social media, whether it is TV, whether it is for some people, you know, I know people who've given up coffee because coffee is their thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whatever the thing is that you feel like you could put, you need to put down to gain greater focus, to give, to present a sacrifice for obedience, right? Because obedience is greater than sacrifice, but fasting is to sacrifice something in obedience to what you believe God is trying to do or what you're seeking the Lord for. And so even in this instance, as you're talking about this very big thing, you know, and here's the other thing. It could be fasting a time, right? It could be, you know, an hour a day. I'm going to dedicate whatever, or I'm going to do this for the next whatever. I think sometimes we fasting seems so grandiose to people who've never done it that they're afraid to do it. Start small. You don't got to give up everything. Start small. God will honor that which you would surrender as an offering to him as you're seeking him. And so even in this, you know, you have the opportunity. Okay, God, I feel this pull. And for me, the very two things that you said, our desires go hand in hand. So it's really one desire, two steps,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? The small retreat into the big retreat center. So I would say, sounds like God to me, because what you're not saying is, I want to fly a plane and I want to start a retreat center and I want to, okay, that's a lot. And a lot of that just sounds like bucket.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But what you're saying is, I want to create a space where people meet God, where mm-hmm. women meet God. And I also believe that God has given me a burden to do it in my homeland that will not only create revenue there, but also will bring people there that wouldn't normally just go.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So there's so many things, right? It's seeding back into the soil that birthed you. It's also bringing God to the soil that birthed you. It's bringing people to encounter God away from their norm. So sounds like God to me. So now for me, I would say, okay, sis, here's the nitty gritty. Now you've got to release these strongholds, which are, definition of stronghold is a house of thought. Either God is our stronghold or the enemy is our stronghold. Okay, what is scaring you or what is causing this house of thought around the money? Da, da, da. Okay, Lord, I need to set aside time to just seek your face so that you can help me deal with the things in me that could prevent what I really believe you're calling me to from happening.
Amen. Now I can actually tell you part of it, you know, when it comes to, it's not so much me, it's because I am married and the bulk of that money would come up front from my husband.
From the husband.
And he is a very cautious one. Well, you know what? Ironically, I am very, very money. What will you call that? I'm frugal up to a point. Like when it comes to giving to people, I will give you the shirt off my back. But when it comes to business stuff like that, I'm very frugal, very like, you know, I'm sharp. Mm-hmm. I don't just jump into things. Of all my little ventures and things that I've started, whatnot, I've always paid as I've gone. I just don't, you know, I don't play with money. Mm-hmm. It's just me. That's how I am.
Absolutely.
Some people go in the other way and it's fine, but it's not how I work. I things as I go.
Right.
That said, he's a lot more hesitant, which I'm understanding. Like his hesitation isn't, you know, is understandable. So I think that's that part when you have a partner or a marriage or whatever, and the money, absolutely, you know, and the whole thing, that's more stuck there, because this decision would mm-hmm. Not only affect me, if, you know, it would affect him. So there's that part.
Absolutely.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And ironically, you mentioned fasting. I'm actually listening to this podcast called After Class. It's these three gentlemen that are professors at a college out west. I can't remember what state, Minnesota, one of those bordering Canada. And they have a whole series right now on fasting. And I'm like, ah! So they start with the Old Testament. And they're going through, it's like four different episodes. So I'm on episode 2. But I know that Spirit has been whispering, you need to get off social media. Kai, I love Facebook. Like, I know. I call it crackbook. Like, I just find people fascinating. And I like looking at the things they post. I like, you know, following whatever. It's bad. And it is. I confess here on social media, as it is, you know, on this podcast, that it's an addiction. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so if these things on your heart, you have things that you want to do next year. I'm here talking to myself. You need to make sure you're hearing from God.
Yeah.
And so I already actually, you know, I know that you're here. I'm only sharing because I scripture that says you're not supposed to tell anybody you're fasting, but because we're talking about
it
with our listeners, this is what
we're talking about.
And, you know, and just kind of whoever has the same doubts or whatever, we're just sharing here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, you know what? Yeah. I think I'm, you know, starting January from social media. And I want to do 40 days. I don't know why 40 days, but that's the number that came to mind. And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm specifically going to fast because I want to be able to take out all the noise, quiet my mind, try to be present or be present, and then see, okay, God, where am I joining you?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Because social media, as fun as it is or whatnot, it really is another distraction from, you know, hearing Spirit. And when you have too much noise going on, and it can even be the bleeding of the other sheep from the flock, you know, sometimes we just need to go away and not hear from anybody at all. And you know, hear specifically, because I can sit here and consume all these podcasts from all these people, whatnot, but that still doesn't connect me to God any closer. I'm just hearing other Christians, which is okay. Yeah. But it's not my source. And so I found like the whispering is, child, you need to stop. And you know it. And you just need to go to the source. So I am taking 2021 to do that differently. And I will caveat that I may go in on Sundays to put in the little thing because of the podcast coming in. But you know what? I've decided I may not. I don't know. We have the listeners that we have, and you guys can post. And, you know, God's in control.
And guess what? You can schedule them.
Yes, that too.
And you can schedule them.
You know, I'm not sure what I've done with that. But aside from that, it's just going to be like, this is what we're going to do. But the purpose is that I really want to, I really want direction on, is this the year that I'm starting these little, you know, retreats? And then we'll see what happens with this property that I have my eye on. And
absolutely.
I'm eager, actually. It doesn't make me nervous. I'm eager to actually sit with Papa and be like, okay, what do you have for me? You know, and what do you have for me? Not necessarily even because of these desires, just being with him. Yes.
Yeah.
Period.
Just what do you have
sitting
for me?
In his presence. Mm-hmm. I'm actually eager and excited to do that. For sure. So I actually feel a certain sense of, okay, you're on the right track, because there's a lot of peace about it. of taking, mm-hmm. you know, this track for sure. And, you know, there's just a lot of stuff in, you know, up in the air, just in general, that I feel like I haven't dealt with or sat with because I'm too distracted. And social media is my kryptonite. So speaking, you know, of that, I'm definitely going that route. And so yeah, when I pop up in 40 days, I'll let you all, well, not now, but, you know, in January, I'm starting the first. It's too hectic right now to be whatever. Starting something new in the middle of Christmas for me is just
and,
not.
Yeah. And right. Absolutely. It's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And even as we're talking about like false expectations, you know, what I love about what you're saying, because, you know, let's be real, in Christendom, most ministries are going to have the Daniel fast starting January 1st or some kind of fast, which I don't think is wrong. But here's what I would ask you to do. Make sure that that's what you need
the
to
listeners,
do. Not
our
you,
listeners, yes.
but our listeners. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yes, we do it, you know, but sometimes we're kind of just going through the motions because we know it's just what the ministry does every year. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we're not fully, and then we're doing it with expectations for a certain end, but our heart, our desire isn't really in it, you know? And so if we're not fully committed to it, you can't expect a certain outcome to something that you're not even fully, you know, presenting yourself, giving yourself to. And I think that we've also got to be okay with, you know, I know that this is what we're doing and this is the fast day we've decided as a ministry, but maybe food isn't my issue this year, but I will fast from this for 21 days. Do you know what I'm saying? It to be obedient in what is happening. Because again, I think so many of us, we have these expectations even now, like the fasting on January 1st in ministries is the new kind of, and y'all can be mad at me, I don't care. It's kind of the new New Year's resolution. You know what I'm saying? And there's so many people that fall off, so many people who don't even want to do it. So many people are like, why are we doing this every year? But they do it. But because they don't have that commitment and also just that conviction and nudging of the Holy Spirit, what comes at the end, you know, isn't really the expectation that's put out in the beginning. So what I'm not saying is just be like, I don't want to do nothing with y'all. That's not what I'm saying. But make sure that if you are going to fast, that the fast is what God has called you to fast from. So that the expected end, what you can really reap, what you can really see, what God really wants to do in you specifically, happen.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, because my husband and I have our own ministry now, but when we were running a ministry in LA, helping my godfather at the time, now passed.
You're helping who? I'm sorry. It kind of
they went. Would do a I would we okay. were helping okay. My godfather, who was the pastor who passed. The three of us were top of leaders running the ministry. And so they would do the Daniel fast at the beginning of the year. And I remember one year we had a lot of people who had never done the Daniel fast. And then we had some single people who were like, I don't cook. Like, this is a lot. You know what I mean? And sometimes the grocery bill on the Daniel fast is more than just a regular grocery bill, right? Because you're buying things that some people buy things they don't, a lot of people ain't buying vegetables, right? So we literally did it corporately in my house. And we had two other families and like a host of single people. And my god sister and another person, we would make the meals because it was so hard. People like, I don't know what to eat. I'm just eating carrots all day, or I'm eating, you know, snacking on fruit all day. And so in order for it to not feel so hard, in order for people to really understand, we did it in a community within the ministry. We create our own community to keep each other encouraged. And sometimes, and I think sometimes maybe it seems like fasting, I can only do it by myself. There, you might have a friend who is also seeking right now, and you two commit, hey, let's commit to fast together. You know, maybe you have different things, but the commitment are the same thing, and you're keeping each other accountable. You know, when she start itching to want to go to social media, be like, nah, let's go take a walk. You know, something, you never know. But I think we have to realize that fasting is not as stringent as maybe it can feel, or as imprisoning as it can feel. It is really more freeing than you probably will realize. You will have some withdrawals from whatever you are fasting from, right? Day three of food, you're going to feel a little thing. Probably day two of social media. I think the best worst thing that ever happened is TikTok, because I will get on and I will look at one video and then I will look up and I've been on TikTok.
Right. Oh my gosh, when that guy comes on and says, "Hey, you've been away on here too long." Has happened to you?
Oh, I've never had that. Oh no, I didn't even know someone.
Yes,
okay,
I did.
You just told on yourself.
Yes, it happened.
I didn't even know that happened.
Like, oh.
Oh my god!
A lot of like construction and remodel stuff. I find that fascinating, and have the not cooking. I watch a lot of the cooking ones, and so I'm gonna log, and I'm just like, "You've been on here too long. You want to take a break?" I'm like, "Dag, it's so embarrassing." I'm like, I look around, like I'm just like,
hilarious.
Yes, TikTok tells
that's
on
hilarious.
You.
That's hilarious. Well, I have been on long, but apparently not as long.
I'll be laying in bed, and then it's just be like,
"Oh,
that's hysterical."
Me too. And I'm like, I'm like, oh, I can't sleep. Let me watch a video. I'll watch one and it'll be like 11 and I look up, it's one. I'm like, what the heck? TikTok is an addiction. So I do TikTok sparingly because it has taken my life. Mm-hmm. But, things like that, like things that you know where you can be like, hey, sis, I'm trying not to go on TikTok right now. What are you doing?
Yep.
And then, just to have some iron to sharpen. So, but fasting is such a beautiful gift from the Lord. It is such a beautiful gift. It is such a powerful time. It is the first thing that Jesus did after being announced by the Father, after being baptized by John the Baptist. And here's the thing that I want us to remember is that the scripture said this, and the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Let your Spirit lead you into the fast for you.
Yes.
Write that down. Let the Spirit lead you into the fast for you, because it's exactly what the Spirit did. It says, the dove descended and a voice came from heaven that says, "Here's my son, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." And then it says, and immediately the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. So when you say 40 days, I don't know why, the Spirit's leading you 40 days, right? And so the Spirit will lead us into the fast that is for us. Don't make it so hard. Don't try to just, what are the things I can let go of? Okay, I sense that there's this time of stealing away I need. So Holy Spirit, show me and lead me into the fast that's for me. Because if it's not for you, you will give it up very quickly.
I also think, when we're talking about false expectations, as I was preparing for today and looking at scriptures, I thought of Hebrews 10. And, you have all these prophets and people that went before us, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Abraham.
Faith.
I don't want to read the whole thing. I thought I was going to, but I'm like, chapter 11 is really long. I'm like, you guys can read it yourselves. It's Hebrews 11. And, so
hilarious.
All these people by faith did
11,
so many things, and then, they were commended to them by faith,
right?
But yet none of them received what had been promised. Uh-huh. And God had planned something better for us,
the promise,
so
right.
that only together with us would they be made perfect. And I also want to add in here that, there are some things, listeners, that we will not see the results in this lifetime. And, we mm-hmm. have to have the expectation that we go mm-hmm. by faith, but some things will probably never be answered or you reveal to you or know the whys of, what's happening, because it's just not part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. So if we go in with an expectation of holding things loosely, we don't end up with these disappointments all the time. On who God is, because even these people that God used, so powerfully that they made it into the story of the Bible, a lot of them never knew like what was going to happen, and down the road they didn't meet Jesus, at that time, that came way later. Yeah. And so just even having that in mind as well, I'm holding this loosely. Like I was thinking, you know, I have this and maybe this prompt for me to fast and seek God, it may not even be connected totally with the whole retreat thing. There may be something else that I need to learn, you know?
Girl, there have been so many times. What? I went to, so in 2013, was that 2013?
Uh-huh.
No, yeah, 2013. Yeah, so I released my first album, I want to say, I think it's 2012. And so we did a live concert in 2013. And so 2 weeks before, I felt the Holy Spirit calling me into a fast. So I thought the fast was for, like, getting prepared, right, for this concert. So I started, and the Lord was like, at midnight, I want you to get up and pray every night at midnight. Okay. So I started the first night, and I'm praying, and the Lord tells me to do something. And I'm like, what does this have to do with anything? But the Lord says, I want you to take off your pajamas. There was a mirror in my extra bedroom because my husband, I didn't wake him up at 12, right? So I go into the spare bedroom, and there was this very long length mirror. And the Lord said, I want you to get up, and I want you to take your clothes off, and I want you to look at yourself. Now, up to this point, I barely ever looked at myself in the mirror. Like, I'm just the person who could do her hair, her makeup, and stuff without looking in the mirror. But God was like, I want you to look at all of you from head to toe. And I did it in obedience. I just began to weep because I had been in ministry, and ministry was great, but I had suffered so long with very extreme insecurity about myself. But it never, and the crazy thing is, no one ever knew, except for my husband, because he actually married me. Bless his heart. And so, so the next 2 weeks was God dealing with that. And I thought it was about preparing for a concert. And it was one of the most physically challenging fasts I'd ever done. It was hard. That 2 weeks was hard. But what manifested at the end of that 2 weeks, the confidence and the love that God gave me for myself. And then when it started, God was like, and do not tell your husband what is going on. So the end of the 2 weeks was the day before the concert. And I went and I shared with my husband. I was like, this is what God's doing. This is what, and he started. And I looked at him and I'm like, why are you crying? He said, I've been praying. We had been married at that time 5 years. I've been praying for this for 5 years. That you would see how amazing you are. He's like, whenever you're doing things, he's like, your confidence is amazing, but your confidence in you was what I wanted. I've been praying. And he said, and the biggest thing is that the Bible says a man, loves his wife as himself, right? Or a wife loves herself as husband as herself. And he said, I know you know I love you, but until you loved you, you would have never got the fullness of my love for you. And it was the truth. Now, when he started crying, I was like, why are you crying? This has nothing to do with
me. It's an answered prayer, too.
Oh my God, he's the best. But he said, I've been praying. He was like, because you just couldn't see. And so after that, the Lord had me to start reveal it to some friends. And so I have a friend of ours who really is just, he's amazing. It's really a counselor to me just in life. And so I was sharing with him and I said it. And then I started to talk. He said, wait, hold on. He said, go back. He said, what about like, God has put you in so many spaces, so many things, and you have these gifts. And he said, like, for instance, when I said, oh, you look so pretty, what did you think? I said, oh, I thought you believed it, but I didn't believe it, so it didn't do anything for me. I said, I never discounted someone's, I didn't think it wasn't sincere. It just wasn't real for me. Mm-hmm. So your sincerity didn't impact me. And he was like, I am blown away because nothing about you would have let me know that, but like when I defined it to the extreme. But I say that to say, like you said, you go in thinking one thing, and God's like, nah, I'm about to do the deep thing. And let me tell you, it was that deep work that made that night even more amazing.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there were chains there released. So you went in free.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right? Yeah. Like, on a whole nother level. Now, what I will say is, didn't mean that, like, after that, it was just like, no more tests or trials. Absolutely. Because I had spent most of my life not being kind to myself, talking down about myself. So now, right, now I had to learn to walk that out, because now the enemy, right, if something happened, here comes that thought. Okay, now I've got to take that thought captive, and I've got to take that stronghold and pull it down, because it cannot have any higher authority than the one that God has in my life. So I agree with you. The thing you think you may be going in for, go in for it, but be okay when God shifts the narrative. Because again, I narrate the desire and the design I have.
Yeah. It's interesting when you had that story about, you know, what you just shared right now, and image and whatnot. I was thinking of I do not like. I'm a little better now since having become a transformational coach, because I've put a couple workshops together. So I'm not as bad as, you know, talking in front of people. But the thought of me speaking in a crowd that's more mm-hmm. than like a handful of people literally sends me like, give me some medication or a drink, because I do not like it. And ironically, you know, what I feel like is put in my heart is to have these retreats. And so I've always been like, okay, so when I put this retreat together, it has to be like 15 people, no more than 30. Because I don't want to speak to more than that amount of people. Or even when I volunteer to do things, I'm like, no, you put me wherever I can do small groups, because I do well with that. And part of me does like the one-on-one, because that's definitely my jam. And I think there's, you know, a gift in that. So I don't want to, you know, dismiss that. But, you know, there's this thing about the things we tell ourselves, is where I'm going with this on, you know, this whole like stage fright thing. It's I don't even know what my problem is. It's just, I don't like it. You know what? I know what happens. I just don't know what the problem is. But standing up there and having people just staring at you or me, and I'm just kind of like, mm-hmm. this major expectation. I'm like, listen, I don't know what you came for. This is what I have to offer. And and I read people's faces, and I'm like, okay, so are you processing, or are you like looking at me like I'm full of crap? Like, you know, it's just, and I just get so like, my gosh. That's why I like smaller groups, because an interaction, because then I know exactly what people are thinking or processing. And then we can go from there, because I like things very conversational, but I don't like speaking at people and trying to read a room and see how it's landing. Whew.
Well, you shouldn't be speaking at anyone.
Speaking to them.
But here's the crazy thing, like, where that's for you, that is so opposite mm-hmm. for me. I am so comfortable, big, small, gigantic. And that was the thing I think that tricked people, when like people close to me, when I told them, because here's the thing for me, I realized, I was like, when I'm speaking, when I'm speaking and ministering for me is the same, but when I'm speaking, when I'm teaching, even when I'm doing music, which is, you know, praise and worship or gospel music, it's not about me. So, and it's not me doing it. So it's literally, mm-hmm. I don't take me there, if that makes sense, right? Like, I fully show up in the person, like fully show up as a vessel versus trying to show up as a personality. And I think so often, like, you know, in the beginning, we're thinking, oh, I gotta. It's like, no, you need to prepare, and then you need to be open. The greatest lesson my mentor ever said to me, and he's wanted to be one of the greatest speakers that nobody knows. And I'm like, he's like, I always go, I'll study. He's like, and I get myself, he's like, really, study is for you, but I get myself set. I study, I prepare. He said, but as soon as I step in front of the audience, I always say, Lord, I don't know anything. So whatever you want to show me, teach me, or to know even right now, I'm available. But he says, I always go, even though I have a plan, you know, because I prepared, right? I sense the Holy Spirit has led me here. So I believe this is the plan of God, but I still go up saying, and yet I still know nothing. Because God can do what God wants to do. You know, but I know that, like, the first time I ever spoke, oh my gosh, I spent time putting my notes together. This is even before I'd gone to Bible college. It's the first time I was like, oh, I had this incredible message on love. And got to the place. A friend of mine was, she sang before I spoke. And while she was singing, the Lord was like, go here. And I went to the word. He was like, that's the message. And I was like, what? I can't. What? And I had like 2 minutes before her song was over. And I wrote down three little notes. And I walked up there. And I was like, okay. And it was very well received. But I realized in that moment, my confidence.
Girl,
on what
I have
I
a
know,
story for you. So that ministry that I spoke about earlier, you know, that I was in, I had been asked to speak, and listen, I would sit down at night and nothing would come. This is months, and the weekend comes, and I still have nothing.
Yeah.
Except for one thing, I had brought along. You know, Tupperware made those balls that had the figures, and you had to put them through. Oh, yeah. Tupperware used to make, I don't know if I'm dating myself here, if Tupperware even exists anymore, but it was this toy, and it was a sphere, and it had cutouts of different geographical, Lord have mercy, geometric shapes. And it was to teach children, you know, to find the shape, and you would push it through, and it would collect inside the sphere. And then you would pull it open, and they would all fall out. So it had, you know, triangle, rectangle, you know, whatever, all these shapes. And that was the one thing I brought with me on an airplane to go to Green Lake, Wisconsin. Yes, that's where we're at. Wait, Wisconsin, the state. And the weekend comes. It's my time to speak. And I am a mess, because I'm going to stand up there in front of 30-something women, I think it was. And I had nothing. Kai, nothing. I was so embarrassed because, of course, who was it all about? Me. Mm-hmm. What? And I just stood up there in the middle when it was time for me to talk. I'm like, okay, God, I'm doing this blindly because I think that's what you want me to do, because nothing has come to mind, you know, and I can BS myself through anything, but this is just not working. It was horrible. The message that basically came out was that we try so hard a lot of times, women, to try to fit in the mold that we weren't made for. And so was trying to put these, you know, figures through these holes that did not fit, you know, whatever. And some of the women's like, I still remember that now, you know, we keep in contact. It's just like, it was so frustrating to see you try to put in like a square inside a circle or whatever. But that I knew clear that I was supposed to bring. That was the only thing. And, you know, I look back and it was just really to humble me because, again, I was trying to come up with something of my own strength. And, you know, I didn't. It was just, you know, not about me. So I've had a couple of lessons that were totally embarrassing, because standing up in front, you know, people paid to be there would not. And I stood there and I'm like, well, I have no idea what I'm doing here or why, because I'm totally, this is embarrassing. I don't, nothing, you know. And it was short. Like, I was like, this is all I have. I'm supposed to shut up now. And that was it. And I sat down.
Hilarious. That's funny.
So speaking of doing things on our own strength. Yeah, I get it. Well, girlfriend, we're should be wrapping up here. Do you want to say some words?
Well, yes, ma'am. I think the story you just ended was some good words, but you know, I think more than anything, just I want everyone to be encouraged as we do go into 2021. I will say this, keep your hope up. Don't let, you know, the climate of the political lens, the economic lens, the socioeconomic lens, and even the virus that we are still fighting. Don't let these lenses blur your vision of Christ. Don't let them blur your of Christ. Don't let them blur your vision of Christ, of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, don't let what may have, you know, Christmas is going to look like very different for everyone. Don't let what was or what you might not have this year, or what you may not been able to do to diminish the hope we have in Christ. And the expectation for 2021 shouldn't be the end of the virus. The end of the hope for 2021 should be that God still is, God Amen. Still does, and God Amen. Will still move.
Well, I want to add that the sheer definition of faith is to hang on to something that we just don't know. We have no knowledge of what's coming. And so as 2021 unfolds and develops, I pray that you hold on to faith unknown, just like the fathers of the faith. They had no idea why they did what they did, but they knew God and they trusted him. So I pray that you have a faith that is trusting on our unchanging Lord. So here's to a 2021 that is full of hope and faith and it's focused on God. All right, sis. I will see you around. Take care.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All righty.
Bye.
I'll see you in January.